كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. صدق الله العظيم. الحمدللہ، فضل کرم ان احسان اف اللہ سبحانہ و تعالی. اللہ تعالی has allowed for us to gather here, take out a little bit of time to make some mudhakara of some aspect of this beautiful deen that Allah سبحانہ و تعالی has blessed us with. The greatest boon, greatest bounty that each one of us enjoy is the boon and the bounty of iman. This deen-e-Islam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, this whole world, whatever it contains, all the wealth, all the riches, all the gold, the silver, and even if it has to be multiplied 100 times or 1,000 times also, it cannot come anywhere close, anywhere near to this gift of iman and Islam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. The sad reality is that we have understood the value of the material things that we possess, but we haven't even begun to understand the value of this treasure, this wealth of iman that Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with. For example, if we have to see our child scratching some cupboard in the house, even if it is a masoom child, a small child, and the child is scratching some cupboard, forget scratching the cupboard, just making some mess on the new carpet that we bought, then immediately we will reprimand the child, we'll shout the child. I'm not saying we'll make zulam on the child, but we'll stop the child and we'll put an end to what the child is doing. We won't just allow the child to continue scratching the cupboard or messing the carpet. If you put some new wallpaper or something, we won't just leave the child to carry on peeling that wallpaper. And it should be like that. We can't leave them to destroy things. But the point is that when we see them doing these things, even if they're breaking a toy of theirs also, we'll stop them. But when it comes to our deen, and sometime we got big children in our house, 10-year-old children, 12-year-old, sometime baligh children, 15-year-old, and if those children are not practicing on the sunnah of Nabi Akareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or worse, the person is not even reading salah on time. Sometime there is a baligh son in the house, and the son is not going for Fajr namaz, the son is not going for Isha namaz, and not even a crease, not even a frown comes on our forehead. So we have to understand this boon, this gift of iman, just as if we have a house. Now if somebody says, "Now I just want to break one roof tile of yours," so we say, "No, you can't break a roof tile." So, "No, just one roof tile, man. Only one roof tile. Just allow me to break. Or let me, you got a nice dinner set, 20 piece, 24 piece. Now that 24 don't sound too nice. Let me just break that 4 dishes, 4 plates, 4 cups, 4 saucers. Make it 20, a round figure." So the lady of the house will not allow that. She will become upset with that. Right? In the same way, our deen also, if we have to chip away and we break one roof tile, we break one plate, one side plate, then that deen is not going to be complete anymore. And Allah Ta'ala is instructing us, "Udkhulu fis silmi kaffa," that enter into Islam in totality, total entry into Islam. Don't let there be deficiencies in our religion. Don't let there be deficiencies in our iman, in our Islam. So khair, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every year that we live, Allah Rabbul Izzat, out of His fazal, His karam, His ihsan, He blesses us with this Mubarak month of Ramadan. Before the month of Ramadan appears, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the 15th night of Shaaban, which we call Laylatul Bara'ah. So which we call Laylatul Bara'ah, Shab-e Bara'ah, Laylatul Barat, older people will say. Then that this night, it conscientizes us, you know. Say it's a big night, we are forgiven, and certain people with certain sins, they don't get forgiveness on this night, etc. And some people will keep the roza 13, 14, 15, some will fast just on the 15th. So what happens, it gives like a little taste of the Mubarak month of Ramadan. Azam Ayus Patel, Sam Rahmatullah Ali, our late Shaykh and Murshid, Allah Ta'ala, fill his qabr with Noor, continue to elevate his darajat, and allow us to benefit from his teachings, his fuyus. So he used to say that this Laylatul Bara'ah, Shab-e Barat, is like when a person wants to paint a home. So first you got to scrape off the old paint, where the paint was flaking, etc. You got to take the paint scraper and you got to scrape all that off. After that, then you can now put the primer and put an undercoat and put a new coat of paint on that wall. So Laylatul Bara'ah is like that, when we put the paint scraper and we take out all the flakes, etc. And now we are waiting for the month of Ramadan to come. And the month of Ramadan comes, now we start painting, start beautifying that home, right? And the month of Ramadan is not like the painters of the dunya. Painters of the dunya, they tell you, no, Mrs. Makoti, whatever, next week Monday, no, I'm there. 7 o'clock in the morning, I'm there, don't worry. But Monday, you're waiting, maybe 5 Mondays will come. Where the painter is, we don't know. But Ramadan is not going to be like that. Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is either going to bless us with 29 days of Shaaban or 30 days of Shaaban. Maximum will be 30 days of Shaaban. There will never be 31 days of Shaaban. And then the moon will be sighted. If after 30 days of Shaaban, even if the moon is not sighted, the next day is first of Ramadan, the next night. So Ramadan is definitely coming. It's definitely right on our doorstep. What we don't know is whether we're going to be around to see the Ramadan. And if we see the beginning of Ramadan, as Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, awwaluhu rahmah, the first 10 days of Ramadan are 10 days of mercy, wa awsatuhu maghfirah, second 10 days are 10 days of forgiveness, wa akhiruhu itqum minan nar, and the last 10 days are 10 days to acquire freedom from the fire of Jahannam. So Hazrat Shaykhul Hadith Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, he says that many people have given many explanations that what does this hadith really mean? The first 10 days are days of rahmat, second 10 days of maghfirat, third 10 days freedom from the fire of Jahannam. So he said his explanation of this hadith sharif is this, that there are certain people whom they prepare themselves well in advance for the Mubarak month of Ramadan. Like Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, some of them, as soon as one Ramadan finishes, they are already now preparing for the next Ramadan. So some people are like that they're not committing any major sins. If perchance, accidentally some guna was committed, then immediately they make tawbah, they make istighfar. So these type of people, when the Mubarak month of Ramadan comes, their hearts are ready. The field of the heart has already been plowed. Everything is already soft. From the moment the moon of Ramadan is sighted, already they begin experiencing the nuraniyat, the ruhaniyat, the barakat, the in'amat. All these things of Ramadan already they start experiencing from the very moment that Ramadan begins. Then there are those whom unfortunately they are living a life in between type of life. Razi rahe Rahman bhi, khush rahe Shaitan bhi. That sometime they are doing some good, sometime they are doing some evil. They do some good deeds and they say, no, we got to balance the scale now. You know, you got, like some people, you hear them now. They say, now this, we went for Umrah 1 year. Now next year, we don't go for Umrah, man. We go for holiday. You know? Just balance the scales a little bit. We can't just keep going for Umrah. Must balance the scales. If Allah Ta'ala gives us an opportunity, you know, to do good, we must never miss out on that opportunity. Never leave out an opportunity to do good. Because we don't know mabada ye waqt aayega ya nahi. That will this time come back, as Maulana Mohan Mazhar Sahib Dawan Barakatu, our Shaykh, he always mentions this. Mabada ye waqt aayega ya nahi. That will this opportunity come again in the future or not? You know, one day, Ma'isha radiyallahu ta'ala narrates the hadith. She says that Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam was at home, and next thing some voices are being raised outside. And the one person is saying, now one person was owing one person money, some chakkar like that. So the person who was being owed, he is demanding his payment. And the person who is owing the money, he is asking for extra time and he is asking for some leniency. And he's telling him, no man, drop the debt, you know, reduce the amount. And the other person is saying, wallah, I'll never do that. He's taking Allah's name and saying, wallah, I'll never do that. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out. And he said, who is that person who just now was taking a qasam that he is not going to do a good deed? Because it's a good deed if somebody, you know, is owing us and they can't pay, we gave them some time to pay and they didn't manage to pay by that time. So to give the person an extension of time is a good deed. Or if somebody is owing us some money, to reduce the amount is a good deed. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying, who's that person who was taking a qasam that he's not going to do a good deed? Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, they were not like us. We, although we hear what is the hukam of Allah, although, but we're not prepared to just accept and make amal. Right? They immediately on the turn, now imagine this person was in the heat of the argument, right? But now Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came out and asked. So he raised his hand. He said, Ana ya Rasulullah. He said, no, it was me, O Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But now I'm not saying anything. And the person who I was arguing with, whatever settlement he wants, he must just put it on the table. I'm agreeable to that. Imagine. Immediate compliance, you know. Immediate compliance. Gee. So what we were saying, going back now, I don't know, we went off a little bit. So let's come back on track. That the 15th, we were talking about this 10 days of Ramadan. So sometime you get a person who is living a good life also, but in between, you know, he's causing it a little bit also. So that person, when the month of Ramadan starts, now immediately he gets tawfiq. He starts reading all his salah. She starts reading all her salah. The person, you know, stays away from all the WhatsApp groups and all the unnecessary things and whatever. So it takes the first 10 days to get cleansed. And by the second 10 days, now this person also starts reaping, you know, the benefits and all the treasures of the month of Ramadan. And then there are some people whom are soaked in guna. There's very, very little good in their lives. Like myself now. Right? So, people like myself, it takes 20 days now for the month of to get cleansed. 20 days it will take to get cleansed. And then after the 20 days, now after the 20 days, in the last 10 days of Ramadan, now the person will start reaping the benefits of this Mubarak month. And then unfortunately, so unfortunate, that there would be some people whom are so much in a ghaflat, you know, so much in a negligence, that even the whole month of Ramadan passes them by. Even in the month of Ramadan, they are not bothered to make any changes. They are not bothered to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to rectify the situation and put their iman right, put their Islam right. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us that we don't be from amongst those type of people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a consciousness and don't make us from that category of people. So, as we were saying before, that the 15th night of Shaaban will come and it gives us, you know, like some preparation. Right? We scrape the paint off the wall. And when the month of Ramadan comes, now we start beautifying that house. We start painting that house of Islam, that house of Iman, which is in our hearts. Now look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran Sharif, Allah ta'ala is addressing the believers, right? Because this privilege of fasting is a privilege that is given solely to the believers. These believers, they cannot keep roza. Even if they have to stay hungry, they won't get the thawab of fasting. The thawab of fasting is only given to believers. And the effect that roza has, this effect also is only given to believers. If a non-Muslim has to fast, right? A non-Muslim has to fast, then that non-Muslim will not get the benefits. The non-Muslim will not get the benefits of keeping the roza, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the believers and Allah ta'ala says, O you who have brought iman, kutiba alaykum as-siyam, that roza has been ordained for you. Roza has been made farz upon you. Kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum, just as roza has been made farz upon the people before you. La'allakum tattaqoon, so that you may adopt a life of taqwa. Just put the speaker on there on your phone. It will be easier. The speaker is not working. Put the speaker, loudspeaker on your phone. Right? So, la'allakum tattaqoon, so that you may adopt a life of taqwa. Right? Allah Ta'ala wants us to adopt a life of taqwa. Now what is taqwa? Taqwa, we say that we fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, this fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our late Shaykh Hazrat Mu'izz Patel Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, he used to explain time and time again that taqwa, the fear, when we talk about fearing Allah, then it is not like the fear that one has for a predator, the fear that one has for an enemy, not that type of fear. But it is a fear that is born out of love. It's like how now you are married, for example, and your mummy doesn't like you to do a certain thing. Now, the zamana is finished where your mummy can take her champal and give you one shot. If you are a little girl in the house and you have done something wrong, then maybe the mother can take one champal and give one shot. Or the mother can shout, or the mother can, you know, give some punishment or something. But now the zamana is finished. You are a married lady. You have got your own children. Your mother can't take her champal and give you one shot. Right? But now you fear more to break your mother's heart than when you were a small child. When you were a small child, then you should still get up to masti. But now when you are bigger, now you don't want to do anything that hurts your mother. It's a fear that you have. That fear that you have is not the fear for the velan. It's not the fear for the champal. The fear that you have now is a fear that is born out of love. That my mother did so much for me. Today I have seen what motherhood is. So I now appreciate the efforts of my mother. So the last thing I want to do is break my mother's heart. I don't want to break my mother's heart. And this fear of breaking the mother's heart, this is what now drives you not to do those things that will displease your mother and do those things which will be pleasing to the mother. Right? Ji. So when we talk about fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this is the fear that we're talking about. That my loving Allah, my beloved Allah gave me my life. My Allah gave me my body, gave me my organs, gave me my limbs. My Allah is providing rizq for me. My Allah gave me iman. My Allah gave me so much that if I have to sit from now and I remain in sajda till the moment I pass away, then too I will not be able to make adequate shukr over the ni'mats that my Allah has blessed me. So when my Allah has done so much for me, and my Allah is still prepared to reward me on my obedience to Him. One is, Allah has done so much for us, that even if there is no reward, it is only befitting that we live a life in the obedience of Allah. Right? Even if there is no jannat, just to make our Allah happy, that is a reward sufficient to sacrifice 10 lifetimes also. Right? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is still also giving us reward and promising us jannat. Now when my Allah has done so much for me, is doing so much for me, is prepared to do so much for me, where can I displease that Allah of mine? How can I ever do something that will make my Allah naraz? That's why Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, he used to read this one couplet, you know. Main in cheezo ko qabil e la'nat samajhta hu, jis se ae dosto, Rab mera naraz ho jata hai. That I consider those things to be accursed, those things which make my Allah upset, which make my Allah angry, any act of sin, I consider those things to be accursed because it makes my Allah angry, it makes my Allah upset. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives us this month of Ramadan, He locks away the shayateen, He gives us the amal of roza, which suppresses the nafs. And then He gives us the amal of tilawat of Quran Sharif, which lights up our hearts. So shaitan is locked up, nafs is suppressed, and our hearts are becoming nurani with the kalamullah. Right? And what Allah Pak wants? Allah Ta'ala wants that we must adopt taqwa. We must get taqwa. Through this we must get taqwa. We must fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Now, when we talk about fearing Allah, it's all like, you know, like fairy tale stories. Then what is all this about? How do you love Allah? How do you fear Allah? What is meant by pining for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is meant when these Buzrugan-e-Deen talk? They say, when we take Allah's name, our saliva turns sweet. When we go into sajda, it's like from every pore of our body, a fountain of honey is coming out. What does all these things mean? For us, it's all like fairy tales. You know, they were just talking about something, man. They didn't really mean it, you know. It's like this one, Molisab, you know. He went to the village. So he was giving the people some encouragement to read namaz. So he's telling them, see, now you know the villagers in those days, if they had a cow, kaam ban gaya. If they had one cow, finished, their job is done. Why? Because they will get milk from the cow, and they'll get dung from the cow. And both things are very valuable to villagers, right? And they can plow their land also using the cow. So they were very happy if they got one cow. So this Morana is trying to explain to them that if you read your salah, Allah Ta'ala will take care of your rozi and all of that. So he told them also, he said, look, if you read your namaz, you know, Allah Pak will give you one cow, man. Allah will give you one cow. So he gave the bayan and he went away. So one dihati, one villager, he started reading his namaz for 40 days. So a couple months later, the Morisab came back, you know. So this dihati went to this Morana. So he says, Hazrat Morana, you know what, man, last time you came, you told us about this 40 day nuskha, must read for 40 days and we'll get one cow. So I read for full 40 days. But every day I'm checking in the backyard, no cow has come. So the Morana told him, he said, bhai, I didn't mean now you're going to get a cow. You know, like hakiki now, one cow will come away in your backyard. What I meant now, Allah Ta'ala will take care of your risk, you know. So he told the Morana, he said, yeah, I knew you were bluffing. That's why me also, I didn't read the namaz with wuzu. So now you get this type of people also. Now we are like that. When we hear stories of the Akabirin and the Awliya Allah, then we think it's all just like fairy tales. They're just playing fools. Where can these things be a reality? You see, the reason why we are not feeling that deep love, why we are not feeling that yearning for Allah Pak, why we are not feeling that real taqwa, why is it that we are not feeling this? The reason is, one, we are not letting go of our sins. We're not letting go of our guna. That's number one. Now we'll say, but Morana, we took out the TV from the house. We're not listening to music anymore. I'm now wearing hijab and niqab. Now which guna are you talking about now? We took out the gunas from our life. Mothers, sisters, what about the guna of ghibat? What about the guna of jealousy? What about the guna of envy? What about the guna of boasting? All these gunas, we have to get rid of these gunas also. These are also major sins. Many a time, we only consider those things to be sins which community considers to be a sin. Things that community doesn't consider to be a sin, then we don't consider those things to be a sin. No. We have to look at what did our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam classify as a sin. And I need to make tawbah from those things. Right? There were two ladies in the month of Ramadan. All of a sudden they were gone like so sick. Like they're going to lose their lives. They were roza, they were fasting. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the people brought them, they said, now what must do with them? They're like, they're going to go unconscious, they're going to pass out any time. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave them a bowl and told them to spew in that bowl. When they spewed in that bowl, fresh blood and pieces of meat came out. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked them, that what is this? You all were making ghibat. You were eating the flesh of your Muslim brother or sister. This is why you are suffering this natija from your roza. So the month of Ramadan will come, but we mustn't fall in the category of those people whom Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Rubba sa'imin laysa lahu min siyamihi illa al-ju'." That so many fasting people, the only thing they get out of their roza is hunger. Staying hungry is not the objective. It is not the end goal of the fast. Staying hungry is a stepping stone to something greater. Ruhaniyat, nuraniyat, ishq-e ilahi, the love of Allah Ta'ala, ittiba'i sunnat, following the sunnat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So one is we're not giving up our guna. The second thing, mothers, sisters, just leave the ladies one side now for 1-2 minutes. And I'm appealing to you. Speak to your husbands, speak to your sons, speak to your brothers. The men folk, unfortunately, they throw away all the ruhaniyat that they manage to acquire in the month of Ramadan in their Friday night and Saturday night brides. They throw it away. And I believe, I heard the canaries whispering, no, canaries. I see, Port Shepstone is a fertile ground for Ramadan brides. I don't know if it's true, you all know, but I heard like that. So speak to our children. You see, in these brides, what's going to happen? In these brides, now you're going to even prepare for that bride for them. You're not helping them in any way. You're thinking you're making a khidmat. You're not helping them in any way. When the men get together, they're only going to talk, laugh, joke, right? They're going to cheer one another, poke one another, right? And all that, it develops darkness in the heart, hardness in the heart. Now, whatever nuraniyat was supposed to be generated, everything is lost. Everything is lost. So let's come back to us now. So we were saying that one is we're not giving up our sins, right? The second thing, mothers, sisters, is that look, we are not connecting with Allah. We're not connecting with Allah. Our Shaykh Hazrat Mohammad Patasab Rahmatullahi Ali, he mentioned once in a majlis, you know, he said, look, there are many things in the airwaves. He said, right here as we're sitting in the masjid, if somebody has to bring a radio, although we can't hear it, we can't hear the talk shows, we can't hear the music, right? We can't hear anything. But if somebody has to come here with a radio, and they have to tune that radio up, so they will catch all these stations. Sitting here in the masjid, they will catch all these stations. Musical stations, talk shows, everything. It's there in the airwaves. But we can't see it, we can't hear it. But if you come with the right apparatus and you tune it up, you'll pick up everything. Right? In the same way, Ramadan is coming with everything. There's sakina that is descending. Rahmat, Barkat, Maghfirat, all these things are descending. But if we're not going to tune in, we're not going to pick up anything. If we're going to allow for our aerial to break, or we don't even have the apparatus on, forget the aerial breaking, we're not going to pick up anything. Or if we move out of the radius of the signal, then we got only ourselves to blame, right? So we have to connect with Allah. We have to tune in. And we have to connect. Because look, taqwa will come. Taqwa will come when we realize who our Allah is. But if we're not realizing, we're not tuning in, we're not connecting with Allah, how the taqwa is going to come? Then it's going to remain all like fairy tales. Because we're not tuning in. Now how to tune in? How to tune in? Ubay ibn Ka'ab radiyallahu ta'ala, He says that when 2/3 of the night would pass, and now there's only 1/3 of the night is left, then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to start waking everybody up. He used to start waking everybody up. And he used to say to them that wake up, uzkurullah, remember Allah. Now is the time to talk to Allah. Now is the time to dial Allah Ta'ala's number. Uzkurullah. Ja'atir radifa tadba'uha radifa. Ja'atir rajifa tadba'uha radifa. That the time has come very close when the first blowing of the trumpet is going to take place. And the second blowing of the trumpet will follow shortly. Qiyamat. Qiyamat is going to come. Qiyamat is going to take place. Ja'a al-mawtu bima fee. Ja'a al-mawtu bima fee. Death has come with all that it entails. Everything that comes with death. One is, Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali used to explain, that one is the Qiyamah of the world, you know. When the sun will be folded, the moon will be folded, the skies will be folded and put away. This is the Qudrat of our Allah. This is the Qudrat of our Allah. The sky which we look at and we say nothing can contain the sky. Such a huge sky. But how we take one sweater, one vest or something and we fold it up and put it in the cupboard. It's such a small possession of ours. You just fold it up and put away in the cupboard. Like that, Allah Ta'ala will fold this whole sky up and put it away in the drawer. That this whole huge sky, it's such a small thing for Allah. This is Allah Ta'ala's Qudrat. So, one is the death of the world, which we call Qiyamat. Where everything will cease to exist. Every mountain will crumble. Everything will crash. There'll be nothing left. One is that Qiyamat. But Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali used to always say, but the day we breathe our last, our Qiyamat has begun. Our Qiyamat has begun. So as I was saying in the beginning, that Ramadan will definitely come. With all the colors of Allah Ta'ala's love. To paint this house of Islam and Iman in our hearts. It will come. But the question is, am I going to be there? Am I going to be there? I don't know if I'm going to live till then. So every moment that I got, I must use it in preparation of that Mubarak month. And if Allah Ta'ala, out of His mercy, His grace, He honors me with the opportunity to see another Ramadan, then I must not miss a single moment. I must not miss out a single moment. So to connect to Allah Ta'ala, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is giving us the prescription in this Hadith Sharif. That when 2/3 of the night passed, then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is waking everybody up. That wake up. Now is the time to talk to Allah. So mothers, sisters, Allah Ta'ala reward you all. The faluda you make, the food you cook, the savouries you make, while you are in a state of roza. You're doing all these things. But mothers, sisters, don't tire yourself out. Don't tire yourself out to an extent that you miss out on that last portion of the night. If we start waking up in that last portion of the night, you make dua, Allah Ta'ala, give me tawfiq also. We wake up in that last portion of the night and we connect with Allah. We connect, we tune in and we connect with Allah. There's no disturbances at that time. Then, wallahi, we will begin to experience. It won't be words. We will begin to experience qurb-e-ilahi. The closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will experience it firsthand. We will experience the noor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hearts. Then automatically we will develop that taqwa for Allah, because now we know who Allah is. Now we know who Allah ta'ala is. You get a child who doesn't know who his father is. A child was separated at birth from the parents. Right? Maybe the parents, for whatever reason, they gave the child up for adoption or whatever. And this child grows up not knowing who the parents are. Sometime, the child may be going to the corner shop, and that is the shop of the parents. And the child addresses that man behind the counter by his name. Can I get some service here? Because to him, it's just a shopkeeper. Right? But 15 years later, 20 years later, if he comes to know that, boy, that's your father. Now how ashamed he will be of himself. And now how much he will want to do to mend that relationship and catch up on that relationship. Wallahi, this is what will happen to us. We are living our lives. Allah Ta'ala put us in the dunya. The main reason is to get ma'rifati ilahi. That we must worship Allah. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ Right? Allah Ta'ala says, I haven't created jinnat and insan except so that they worship me. And the shurra, the mufassirun, they explain what is meant by liya'budun, ay liya'rifun. That they must acknowledge who I am. Because see, what is ibadat? We'll say namaz is ibadat. But munafiqin, we're also reading namaz. The hypocrites in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were also reading namaz. Will we call their namaz ibadat? We say, no. Their namaz is not ibadat. They were just copying what the Muslims were doing, but their namaz is not ibadat. We won't call it ibadat. Why? They never acknowledge who Allah is. They never recognize who Allah is. So the ingredient to turn all these acts of worship, which we call acts of worship, to turn it into ibadat is to add marifat into it. The higher the level of the marifat, the more accepted that ibadat will be. If there is no marifat, then that is just external actions. It's not an ibadat, because there's no marifat. So if we want marifat, then we have to connect with Allah. We have to connect with Allah. Allah will then reveal Himself to us. Then we will see Allah in the pot of food that we're cooking. We will see Allah in the bird that is flying outside. We will see Allah Ta'ala when we look at our palms when we wake up in the morning. The water that comes out of the tap, we'll see Allah in there. Because we cannot see Allah with our eyes in the dunya. But everything that we see around us will remind us of Allah. Everything will remind us of the Qudrat of Allah. Whatever we look at, it will remind us of the Qudrat of Allah. Just now we were coming on the road. We passed some sugarcane trucks. Right? So Apa is telling me, now look at the sugarcane. It looks like dirt, you know. When you look at the sugarcane like that in the truck. He said it looks like dirt. But it is this very same thing that's sweetening up the whole world, you know. Now this is the Qudrat of Allah. That something that looked like dirt, right? But Allah Pak gave insan the intelligence to extract the sweetness from there. And everything is getting sweet now through that thing that looks like dirt. Now this is what I'm talking about. That you will look at something and Allah Ta'ala will make that thing remind you of Allah. When we look at our house, it won't bring pride in our heart. Hey, what a shandar house I got. No. When we will look at our house, it will remind us, what a house Allah gave me. What a house Allah gave me. And if Allah gave me this house in the dunya, what houses Allah got in his Jannat? So let me now start working for those houses now. The houses in Jannat. So this is how that marifat will come. But we have to talk to Allah. We have to wake up that tahajjud time, this Ramadan, let us make niyat, make intention. That we won't miss a single tahajjud. And mothers, sisters, sometime it will happen, you are not reading. When you are not reading, the only thing you cannot do is salah and tilawat of Quran Sharif. Only two things you can't do. Everything else you can still do. So don't break your momentum. Sometimes you'll start off Ramadan, after 10 days, 12 days, then you're not reading. So the first 10 days, 12 days, you are going so well, you got a timetable for yourself. Good tartib, everything you're going well. Now you get that break in between. Now after that break, then everything is lost. Come last 10 days, now you're battling to get into a routine in between your barfi and chana magaj and laddu and all that. Now you're battling to get into a routine. And before you know it, you're putting biryani masala. So let us make niyyah that that mustn't happen to us. Even when we are not reading, still stick to your timetable. The time that you were normally using for tilawat of Quran Sharif, use it to read a good tafsir. Just don't touch the Arabic, that's all. Use it to read a good tafsir of the Quran. Your time for salah, your time for taraweeh, use it to read some good literature. Use it to make your du'as longer. Increase your zikr. Sit on your musalla. So you still remain in that tartib. So once you are reading again, there's nothing got altered. In fact, now you will escalate. You'll do even more. Right? So these are one or two positive things that we need to do, positive steps that we need to take in Ramadan. The other thing is that, look, mothers, sisters, everyone is complaining the days are so short. Especially winter. After Zohar, you can't do anything. Before you know it is Asr. So look, we got to analyze our lives and check up which things are wasting our time. And get rid of those things. Get rid of we got limited time. And Allah Ta'ala says with regards to Ramadan, أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودَات. Few days. Few confined number of days. So, in that few days, and we got no time, how can we then engage in things that are a waste of time? So we have to analyze our life seriously. Now you see, mothers, sisters, sometime when analyzing our lives, we need some help, you know. We need some help. Because for example, I will say to myself, my cell phone I have to have, you know. WhatsApp, who can do without it? Right? But in reality, ask yourself the question, those of you that are a little bit older, how many years you took out without this thing? How many years you took out without all these things? So why has it become a must? So if we can help it, send a message to all your contacts, all your groups that you are on, and tell them, look, please, you know, Ramadan Sharif is coming, and please make a lot of dua for me, but I will be exiting the group for the month of Ramadan, and hopefully for the rest of my life. Or that part you can leave it out. So just say, I'll be exiting the group for the month of Ramadan, and inshallah, after Ramadan, then I'll get back online. You know, you can re-invite me after Ramadan. And come out of it. Because this thing is just going to waste your time. Wallahi, ask yourself on all these chat groups, how many unnecessary messages come about? Right? So that is one. The other thing I mentioned in Cape Town a couple days ago, that look, some of us on our phones, we got all this Pinterest, wish, I forget the names now, but these are the famous ones, right? So the ladies now, they like this Pinterest and whatever. Now sometimes, you will get a lady who is a pious woman, salihat, qanitat, hafizat, right? Come the month of Ramadan, say, you know what, me, I don't go to the malls, I don't go shopping, it's time for ibadat, you know. So before Ramadan, I finish buy the children's eat things and all that, groceries, finish stock up everything, don't tell me to go shopping and all that in Ramadan. And the whole family knows that, right? So now what Shaitan did? He brought the shopping mall for her in her handbag. She don't have to take her handbag to the shopping mall. The shopping mall came in her handbag now. So now she's sitting in the afternoon, all right, let me take a half an hour nap, you know, so I can be fresh. Now in the half, before the half an hour nap, now the phone went ping. So I must check it up. So check it up, or Pinterest got something. Yeah, no, I was looking for the shoes, yeah. And then now you start scrolling, and before you know it, 15 minutes of your half an hour is gone already. Right? So, do yourself a favor and delete these things. If you really need it, you can always download it again after Ramadan. But for now, for the month of Ramadan, get rid of it, delete it. Why do we need these things that's going to eat up our time? Delete it, come out of it. Right? Then, I was explaining to the ladies there also that, see, you get some ladies, they are what you call rakartipo. They have to, you know, make sure the whole town is functioning properly. So every day they start from one side, they'll drive around the whole town, this shop, that shop, just make sure, you know, everybody is fine, everything is okay. They need one needle from somewhere, one cotton from somewhere. Now they'll drive around the whole town the whole day. So those bichara ladies, when Ramadan Sharif comes, now I mean, it's going to look very bad for them if they're driving around the whole town and all that. So what happens is they say, no, now I'm going to stay at home, you know. Husband also told, no, Maulana said in the bayan, now I must sit at home and make ibadat. So bichara, they suffer from withdrawal symptoms. They become very, very restless in the house. Because they are so used to running around, now they become restless in the house. I don't say you are like that, but I'm saying you get some people like that. So now those, what they do is, you see, they got to latch on to something else. But they don't want to latch on to ibadat. So they latch on to the phone. Because they're in the house now. So now they say, no, but family ties is also a very good ibadat. And to keep taluk with the friends is a good ibadat. So now they start with the phone book. Hey, I didn't phone this one here for very long. Let me give her a call. Now that may be your time to make your tilawat of Quran Sharif. That may be your time to take your nap so in the night you are fresh. You want to read your tarawih properly, etc., etc. But now she wants to make panchat. So look, you're not obliged to answer every call, you know. If it's your time that you need to take a nap, put your phone off. Put your phone off and take your nap because you need to make your ibadat at night. Right? If it's something really important, the message will reach you. It will reach you. You know? And if the person got you on the line, now what you're going to do? They got you on the line. You answered the phone. And now this conversation is going on and on. And it's not concluding. And you can see that this conversation is not really of any essence. Right? But you see with ladies, it's a bit difficult sometimes to figure out whether that telephone call has got essence or not. Right? Because what happens is, you see, a man will make a phone call. He'll phone the person. Assalamu alaikum. How are you, Salman Mota? You know what, man? I was looking for Ibrahim Bhai's number. You got his number. Like, give me the number, please. Take the number down. All right. Otherwise, everything okay. All right, make dua for me. Eh? Right. Assalamu alaikum. Khalas. The story is over. But when a lady makes a phone call and she needs to find out one telephone number, so she will first have to phone. Now you see, she feels very bad that if I'm just going to ask her for the phone number, what she'll think of me? I'm a matlabi. I don't ever phone, and only when I got calm, I phone. So now she'll phone. Assalamu alaikum. how's the cat, how's the roof, how's this one. Yeah, we went for Umrah 5 months ago, how was the Umrah? The whole long story will carry on. Then towards the tail end of the conversation, hey, Fatima bin, why did I got you on the line, man? You know that I just needed that other person, like as if to say it's an afterthought. I didn't really phone for this. I phoned for all the other things. I phoned to speak to you. But as an afterthought now, you know that one time I came to your house, the chicken you made, man, I just wanted to try the thing out. You got the recipe. As an afterthought. So now instead of waiting for that half an hour and then the afterthought, what you must do is just rush the process. So when the lady phones, now you must also have some hikmat. She phones and now she's talking. Now you don't know if she needs something. So what you do is, hey, Amina bin, maaf bin, I got something in the oven, man. I got something in the oven. So now once you say you got something in the oven, that means you need to terminate the call. Then quickly she'll tell you, all right, before you go, man, have you got this so-and-so's number? So now you give the number and finish. The story is over. So whatever work she phoned for, you helped her in her work also, but you didn't waste your time also. Right? So mothers, sisters, look, four things. Right? Number one, we've got to abstain from sin. Right? We've got to abstain from sin. Number two, we have to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to connect with Allah. Then we'll get the marifat of Allah, then we'll develop the taqwa. Number three, get rid of all those things that will waste your time. Get rid of it. You'll be doing yourself a favor. And number four, have a timetable for yourself. Make a timetable. If you're not going to make a timetable, you say, alright, tomorrow, night Johu, we'll see. Before you know it, first 10 days are gone, second 10 days are gone, you're in the last 10, and the month is over. But from now, plan yourself, make a timetable, as far as possible, stick to that timetable. Those that got small children, whatever, sometime, you know, you feel bad, you want to do, the children are troubling, whatever, Allah Ta'ala will reward you. You don't have to worry. Long as your niyat is there and you're trying your best, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will reward you. Allah Ta'ala make it asan. And the other thing I'm advising everywhere, but we don't have the time to go into the details, but look, one of the things of Ramadan is to eat less. Right? But unfortunately, we end up eating more. Now whether it's the children's fault, or whether the parents conveniently just blame the children, right? Whether it is the lady's fault, because she wants to just cook all these things, or whether it's the man's fault that he wants all these things to eat. But as a family, let us try and sit down and make some mashwara and see what steps we're going to take to cut down our eating and make our eating a little bit more simple. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi, he said, if you eat two meals a day, good meals a day, you will never experience what hunger is, and you will never get the ruhaniyat and the nuraniyat from the hunger. Hunger generates nuraniyat. Not total hunger where you're going, you know, like you're on the brink of death and all that, but there must be some hunger in the body. So he said, if you eat two meals a day, you'll never experience it. Two like tight meals, you know, good meals. You'll never experience it. So now we're not saying, you know, but at least to some degree, we need to cut down. So make mashura with the family and see how we're going to cut down. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us tawfiq. Remember us also in your du'as. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make it the best Ramadan of our lives thus far. And keep us all in good health and give us tawfiq too. Fulfill all our ibadat with ikhlas wa sharf al-qubuliyat. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.